This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
If we've learned one thing from anti-violence campaigner Rosie Batty, it's that domestic violence can happen to anyone, even rock stars like Jimmy Barnes and one of Australia's most successful TV personalities. Ray Martin is sharing his story as part of a TV special with Rosie Batty, looking at domestic violence in regional and rural Australia. Dark Secrets, Australia's Hidden Shame, will air on Prime 7 this weekend. And Ray Martin's with me now. Good morning, Ray.
Morning, Katrina.
You're normally the one asking the questions. Was it a strange feeling to be on the receiving end of an interview?
It is, except that it's an area you talk about as well. You mentioned Jimmy Barnes and others, but no one is free from this. No one is immune, if you like, to domestic violence. My father was violent towards my mother, and she and I sort of fled the home when I was 11, and I never saw him again. I was never a victim of abuse, or my older sisters, but mum was. And so it's as, in those days, it was incredibly brave of my mother. We lived in the bush in New South Wales, and it was incredibly brave of mum because there was no support system. Now, the good thing about this, Katrina, is that it's in the end, it's a good news story that we're doing. We're changing for the better. The police and authorities and women's groups and men's groups have realised that it is the most common violent crime in Australia, and we have to change it.
Yeah, but did you ever think about? I do remember reading the scene in your book actually when you left, and how moving that was. It was some years ago now, but do you ever think about how different your life could have turned out if your mum hadn't left?
Oh, no, very much so. And, you know, my background was working class. My father was a mechanic, and we had moved to 13 different towns by the time I went to high school, by the time that mum and I left. And we were very itinerant, and, you know, I probably wouldn't have got the education that I ended up getting, because mum was, who left school at 13, was absolutely determined that I should go to university, and which I did, and she worked in a knitting mill overtime to make sure I did. So it was, you know, she was obviously an incredible woman to do that. But incredibly strong to also leave, you know, a home where there were no refuges, there was no support system where she could expect, someone to help her survive. She had to do it herself, and that was strong. Whereas today, you know, certainly in the bigger cities and in the bigger regional centres, there are refuges, and as I say, the police attitude of the police of New South Wales have been given an extra $60 million to tackle domestic violence, and for the moment that makes them proactive, and they've got a couple of crack domestic violence units, one in the Hunter Valley and one in St George in Sydney, and they are simply targeting perpetrators, and they're simply saying, as I said, it is the most common violent crime in Australia, and the police thankfully are now saying it's a crime. If you commit it, we're going to come after you, and we're going to harass you, and we're going to put you in jail.
Yeah.
And that's what it should be. We've got to change the thinking of, you know, domestic violence sounds like something soft. Well, you know, more than one woman a week is killed in Australia by someone who professes to love them, and that's apart from all those who are bashed and finish up in hospital, and all the kids who see, you know, terrible home life and who are intimidated forever and scarred forever by it. So we have to change it.
And do you think, I think obviously when Australians hear from, you know, successful, well-known people like yourself that this is part of your story, it makes a huge contribution to breaking down stereotypes. Do you feel that you're starting to see that change in attitudes towards this?
No question. In fact, you know, I think part of the, I regard myself as I was, and my mother were totally innocent of this, and so people talking about it, whether it be Jimmy Barnes or Rosie Batty, you're talking about the real world, and it makes other women especially realise that they're not alone. It makes them realise that there is a support system, and what's more, that it is a crime, and that they shouldn't simply cop it and allow it to go on, because it does, you know, it tends to perpetuate. There's a belief that young boys who see their dad doing it are more likely to do it themselves when they become adults, because that's been a pattern they've seen. So we've got to change that. If that's the case, we've got to change it. But Rosie Batty was in Wagga with us as part of this film. We filmed from Kalgoorlie to the Gold Coast for this one over a month, and we were in Wagga with Rosie, and you know, she was Australian of the Year almost 3 years ago, and she thought she'd be wandering around the country for a year as Australian of the Year just talking about domestic violence, and then she'd move back to anonymity. But in fact, there were 500 people and standing room only in the entertainment centre listening to her story, mostly women, I have to say, but quite a few blokes, and so clearly there's a hunger for not just her story, but for people speaking publicly about it, and I think that's, in some ways, even this documentary on Sunday night is a really inspirational one. The women that you meet in that are not beaten women, these are women who've come back and who are inspirational and who refuse to lie down and just accept their lot. They want to change the world, if you like, and
yeah.
They're fantastic. You know, not just Rosie, but who's high profile, but you know, there's a woman there who's a geologist and university education and works in Kalgoorlie, and she finally had to flee her home with her two children. She's a pretty, intelligent, strong woman who'd been never physically violated, but had been verbally and emotionally violated for 2 years, and suddenly found that she was losing her personality, she was losing her life. Mm. This bloke, her husband was, and she's a Christian woman, and she was anxious that, you know, that she has somehow try and make the marriage work and not be another divorce statistic, but she found that, you know, she's no longer smiling, and she couldn't go and have a cup of coffee with a couple of girlfriends without her husband tracking her, and he'd got some apps on her phone and knew who she was speaking to and controlled the finance, all those sorts of things. So please say to her, it isn't just physical, it is also emotional and verbal.
Yeah, it's interesting, before you mentioned about breaking the cycle, and I know often we do put the focus on victims, but I know when I spoke to Jimmy Barnes, he also mentioned that we have to reach out to perpetrators because they need help too. Is that something that you sort of start to tackle in this program a little bit?
Yeah, we do. In passing, we certainly look at the guess is that men are much more reluctant to put their hand out and admit that they've been the victims of domestic violence. You know, it's sort of unmanly, if you like, to admit that your wife's beating you up, but it does happen, and it happens verbally and physically. And you know, we've spoken to a couple of men and a men's group where men have been the targets, but overwhelmingly it is women and children, women especially, who are the targets. You know, women are the ones who are killed mostly and beaten up. And as you know, the police use the figures are rubbery, but police use a figure of about one in three women who are victims of domestic violence, whether it be physical or emotional and verbal. And that's you know, one out of three is horrific. And in that, so we have to change. The police make the point that it is part of the culture that, you know, that men have been bullying women, if you like, you know, for thousands of years, and they keep doing it. But we, you know, we changed the anti-smoking regime. We've brought that in. We've changed the attitude towards drink driving. We've changed attitudes towards seatbelts, even to, you know, skin cancers. We're far more reluctant these days to get out and get sunburned than we were when I was a kid. So we have shown that we can change the Australian culture, and this is part of the Australian culture. You know, part of the culture is men abusing women. Now, we just, you know, that's not addictive, that's just a bad habit, and we have to change the habit.
Yeah, all right. And what, just finally, Ray, what do you want Australians to understand about domestic violence from this?
That it's got to stop. As I say, it's not a matter of, people ask me, you know, what can men do? Well, stop doing it. Just stop doing it. That's what men can do. But the second thing about this is that it's not a story of an hour of gloom and doom. It's an hour of women who are absolutely inspirational. And it's a story of a changing world in Australia with the police help. But police need women and neighbours to ring up. You know, if you hear it going on next door to you and the woman is threatened, her life is threatened, then don't just let it happen. Ring the police. Make sure that the police will react. In New South Wales, police will come and knock on the door and make sure that the woman's safe, and they'll let the bloke know that that they're now watching him, and that they're going to arrest him and they're going to harass him if he keeps doing it.
Yep. Okay. Thank you, Ray.
Terrific, Katrina. Thanks for talking to you.
Yeah. Been speaking with acclaimed Australian journalist Ray Martin. Dark Secrets, Australia's Hidden Shame, screens on Prime TV at 8:30 on Sunday night.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.